T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Probably the most highly anticipated segment of the show. Maybe not. Maybe I'm just hyping you up over there.
I think that was a hyperbolic statement.
Listen, I'm just trying to help you out over there.
Only because the Dead to Me segment's coming up, too.
Yeah.
That's going to be a
first segment. That's the number one segment that we have.
Last week, we
haven't done it before.
Last week, we had some technical difficulties. This week, we're on point.
We're good now.
We are good now.
We're halfway through the show. We haven't had one yet, but...
Still time left.
It's still time left.
We still got
55 and a half minutes of potential technical difficulties on our show.
We're gonna be all right. And we are pretty excited. I know I'm pretty excited to hear Julio's web news.
Web hits.
Julio's web hits.
There's our technical difficulties.
That was our first one.
I jinxed it, didn't I?
You did.
All right. Get this party started. During a recent Indiana high school baseball game, things came to a screeching halt after a hot mic caught a rather rude guy loudly asking for a baseball bat.
Hey, bring me a baseball bat. My girlfriend somebody else. Bring me a baseball bat.
So this guy apparently was at the baseball game.
Uh-huh.
And was around a high school baseball game.
Okay.
And was around a hot mic near the announcers. And had just caught his girlfriend doing some rather inappropriate things to another
performing
guy.
A sexual act on another guy.
And
at a baseball game.
Wanted a baseball bat to take care of business.
We don't know the full context of where it was.
Oh,
it could have been at the game. It could have been elsewhere.
And he was close enough to that mic for that to be caught.
Yeah,
he sure was.
Oh, that was bad.
First and foremost, like my biggest question on this is
obviously inebriated.
Well, yeah, definitely. Well, he might not have been drunk.
The background.
That's not true. He might not have been drunk. He might have been completely sober and just full of emotion.
He slurred his words quite a few times.
Well, he was probably really angry.
Well, that sweet lady was like, "We don't talk like that, sir." You know, she was trying to like defuse.
Here was my thing: is like, why would he walk into the press box asking for a baseball?
Yeah,
bat?
I don't know if it was a high school baseball game. I don't think there was a press box.
No, they might have some of the. Some of the places do have press boxes.
I doubt it. Like,
it depends, but why is it close enough to where there are baseball bats?
Yeah, why would you have
it near
the crowd?
Be near the bases, the press box should be elsewhere, maybe behind a plate somewhere.
Yeah, if you're broadcasting it, there has to be a press box. You're not doing a broadcast without a press box at a baseball.
But they could just have been like an over announcement, like a PA system.
Yeah.
That's bad. That's bad.
That's real bad.
What's he going to do with the baseball bat? Run after the dude?
No, he's going to kill him. He's going to commit second degree murder. I think that was pretty clear.
Okay.
He sounded very angry. He was going to commit second degree murder in that situation.
Yeah.
Or at least aggravated assault. I'm not a lawyer here, but I think there would have been a court case and maybe some years in jail had he actually gotten himself a bat.
And can we remember that he's at a high school game?
That's what makes it so much worse.
This is so bad.
He could just
so
fight bad. The. You can just fight the dude.
What if his son is playing the game? That's bad. And what
all
if
bad news.
And what if his ex-wife is in the stands and then girlfriend's there? This is bad.
Maybe he should just fight that dude.
So
if
many
he,
layers
if,
to
if
this.
He caught, his girl doing it to the dude, like, maybe you should just go and fight that guy. Like, instead of getting a baseball bat, why don't you just throw some hands? Do a drop kick or something.
Oh, boy. Moving on.
Yeah.
So we like to get natural reactions from these web hits. So I try not to show these guys for our listeners kind of what we're getting into in this segment. So there's been a sponsorship between Kingsford Charcoal and Major League Baseball.
Okay.
And because of this, they're trying to, do some commercials for it and get some traction on it.
Yeah.
So they recently did some commercials for this in which they took photos of David Ortiz, Prince Fielder, and Cecil Fielder nude during a barbecue.
Oh, my goodness.
So there is a bunch of fat men
completely nude. Those bellies are out. They're
surrounded by barbecue. Your thoughts, please.
His booty's almost out. The side butt
cheeks. It's a lot more than just his booty that's almost out.
Here was the thing. They're naked, and they're standing next to grills cooking.
Oh, this
is a bad combination.
That's not the kind of meat that I want cooked in this situation.
Well, let me just say.
That is a bad, bad situation there. I tell you this. I've heard the producer for Fesco in the Morning, Ryan Wachowski. He has talked about one of the worst things you could do is try to cook bacon without a shirt on.
Oh, yeah.
How about no pants? No pants grilling?
They have no clothes, and they're standing next to an open grill.
No.
That is dangerous.
The placement of meat, though, is spot on. I mean.
Oh, okay, so very clever with how they place the meat in these photos.
Let's take a moment, though, and go, like, think about this actual production photo shoot. Like, think about that. Like, they're actually naked?
They're naked.
They're probably comfortable.
They are butt-ass naked.
But think about the poor production crew that is placing the grill very nicely so homeboy's friend won't be seen.
Maybe they like guys like that. No. Maybe they like the big guys like that.
Think about who has to go move the light so his, you know, so the it's not shining off his bald head too much or his big old belly too much. And think about that. His friend is just hanging out there.
Maybe they like that, though.
No,
maybe some of the people are like, oh, this is cool. I like this.
Crazy.
I get to see David Ortiz butt-ass naked.
And they might not even be all the way naked. They might have just been wearing banana hammocks, but that's not much better.
But his side booty cheek was definitely out.
Oh, they were definitely, at the very least, they were wearing thongs. But, I mean, let's be honest here. This is a little bit too much for Kingsford. What was it? Kingsford Charcoal? That's a little bit too much for a Kingsford Charcoal.
But you know what?
Ad campaign copying off of the body.
God is talking about it.
Listen, we're all sitting around here talking about it. So the advertisement just did its job.
I don't know if it gets me to want to buy Kingsford Charcoal, though.
Who cares? But press is press.
I mean, they could do something more.
We're talking about it on air right now.
They could do something more. Like, they just copied the body issue from ESPN.
Yeah, but they threw the grill right in there where the meat is.
That's what they do. They do the same thing with the bot. They have like a ball there, you know.
Yeah, but not a grill and not homeboy.
It's not a grill, but it's like a they'll have like women on there and they'll have like a soccer like that was Megan Rapinoe and she'll be like this with her arm across her chest. And it's like that's not original. You could do something original.
I don't know. It got us talking about it. So shout out to their PR.
Right. I think it's a good move. Moving on, sideline reporter Heidi Golznick called out an LFL head coach right in front of his face during a sideline interview. She had this to say.
Thanks, guys. I'm with Omaha Heart head coach and offensive coordinator Dante Allen. Coach, did you think it was a good idea to go hurry up offense with a rookie quarterback?
We've been practicing hurry up offense. We practice both. So we put it in the playbook. They know how to do it, but they're just not reading their keys right now. We're not getting the blocks. People aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing. That's stuff we got to correct before halftime's over.
Thank you, Coach. Apparently, Coach Dante Allen and his staff think that it was a good idea to throw their rookie quarterback to the Wolves and Tester. Back to you guys.
Jillian.
Dang.
Jillian, coming from as a sideline reporter, your thoughts first, please.
Listen, that is a difficult position to be in. Say that, and I'm not saying that just because I did it. It's difficult because, especially if you know the game you're talking about, which I hope you would, because you do have your own opinions. However, I learned from, you know, working with two coaches that are very buttoned up, very, I respect them greatly. They know the game more than, you know, very, very well. I don't know if that was a good move, girl. I don't know. I think that there's a different way to phrase that. I think that there's, that you could say, I saw you did this. What were your thoughts behind it? And then her follow-up to throw back to
the
guy. That's the bad part for me.
She sounded like she was, like, very offended by his answer. Like, she was... Like, oh,
she was clearly just being like, oh, he messed this up bad.
What's the LFL anyways? Is this the Lingerie Football League?
Yeah.
Yes.
Still do that?
But, you know, they do. But she's keeping it focused on the game, which I appreciate her for doing that.
Which is good.
Like, I mean, that was her and her opinion. And like I said, as a sideline reporter, you're going to have them. However, I think you have to know how to handle and respect that coach's opinion. And the throwback to the guys, for me... Girl, no.
You're supposed to be neutral, right, with your questions.
Well, I mean, you just ask what they did, and then you just simply restate, okay, this is what he did, and this is why he did it. Because now that coach is not going to want to interview with you ever again, and neither will his colleagues. So you're digging a hole there.
Was there ever a point where, like, you got an answer from, like, Vermees or whoever else that you were interviewing, and you were like, oh, this dude's BSing me. Just well, like, and you not- like try to keep it off of your face, but you're doing deep in your head is like, oh, this is BS.
Yeah, I mean, in this situation that you're in, I hope that you're able to build a relationship with that coach. Yeah. So you know, like when I was asking him questions, like I already kind of knew how he was going to answer, uh-huh. right? However, there were times where he gave me one word answers and it was basically like a shut up, Jillian. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, he'd do like a, hey, are we gonna, the Greg Popovich answer.
Specifically one of them, hey, are we going to see so-and-so? And he said, possibly. I said, okay, back to you guys in the booth.
Don't ask me that question again, Jillian.
But good for her for keeping it focused, you know what I'm saying? Like as far as LFL leagues
Seriously,
go.
I didn't know the LFL was still in business. Yeah. I thought that was a fact. Are they on TV still?
I don't know all that.
I imagine they're like YouTube somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's probably on YouTube. I didn't know they were still in business. That's good for them.
Good for her, right? That was bold. If you want a job though, girl.
Yeah, that's a bad idea. If you like working, if you like having a job, that's probably not the best way to go about keeping your job.
All right, that was it for Julio's web hits. Nicely done, Julio. Yeah. I like those.
And the computer didn't fail.
Hallelujah. When we get back, we're talking KUMU. You don't want to miss it.
Overtime with Jillian and Chris, 610 Sports Radio.
And we're back. We made it. And we are, as promised, talking something that might be, like, you know, slightly debated in this area, just barely. KU,
and yeah, we need to talk.
A little bit.
We need to have a talk, KU fans.
Calling you out right away.
Yeah. And Julio, you speak for all KU fans in the city right now because you're the only person
no pressure.
On the radio that is a KU fan as we currently speak. So I need to address KU fans through you because I don't feel like you guys conducted.
Do my best.
I don't feel like you guys conducted yourself very well this week.
Coming
well,
look, at you right away.
Don't be looping me in necessarily. I'm going to jump in. You are the spokesperson.
You KU fans. So
you are the spokesperson for KU fans right now.
Don't be throwing me under the bus.
You're the Jayhawks pundit right now. So you know we're bringing you on here because I need you to like really explain this to me here. So earlier this week, our Carrington Harrison, host for The Drive, which you can hear 2 to 6 every single week here on 610 Sports Radio and the radio.com app. He was making fun of KU fans for Joel Embiid and his failure in Game 7 of the Eastern Conference semifinals as his 76ers lost to the Toronto Raptors.
He cried like a baby.
Heart-wrenching fashion. Just an amazing shot by Kawhi Leonard. And afterwards, yes, he walked through the tunnel. He cried like a baby. And which I don't blame that. That's passion to me. I'm cool. I'd rather he be passionate than he'd be like, bleep this. You know, take his jersey off and walk out when he does it like LeBron did when he left Cleveland. Like, I'm cool with him doing that because that's passion to me. I've seen a lot of guys cry in a lot of locker rooms in my time playing sports. So that's passion. That means that you care. But KU fans have an issue with being insecure. You are the most insecure fan base that I have ever seen. Now, I am a Florida fan. I love my Gators. And so,
Florida fan who went to MU?
Yeah. Florida
makes
fan
no
who went
sense.
To MU.
It makes no sense.
Hey, it doesn't have to make sense. Let's just accept it as fact. I'm a Florida fan. I went to I got a lot of trash talk thrown at me. That's the reason why I hate Mizzou. I despise Mizzou sports. I root for all of their teams to lose, and I take great joy when they do lose. But KU fans are so insecure when they are being teased, when they are being made fun of by Mizzou fans, and I don't see any reason why.
And only Mizzou fans.
Only Mizzou fans, not K-State fans, not Wichita State fans, not any Arkansas fans or Iowa State. It is only when Mizzou fans start talking. And it doesn't make any sense to me. You got people sending DMs to Carrington Harrison or adding him on Twitter, talking about, oh, you're played out, you're washed up, this, that, and the other, different pejoratives, things like that. Because he was making fun of Joel Embiid. And it's like,
why are you getting angry
at a Mizzou fan making fun of one of your players in the one of your former players in the NBA when he doesn't have any success? You're KU fans. You've seen two national. If you're old enough, you've seen two national championships. I know in my lifetime, I've seen them play in two national championship games in basketball before. They got wiped up by Kentucky, but they went out there and they had a great historic game against Memphis, winning that title. They have been to multiple Final Fours in my lifetime. They are one of the blue bloods in college basketball. Who gives a bleep what a Mizzou fan has to say about your program?
Because they need to keep KU's name out of their mouth. There's no reason. Look, again, if it was any other person that just, whatever, it wouldn't make a difference. But the fact that, and it's the fact that CDOT loves to take little pot shots.
Mizzou fans in general, because this is not a CDOT thing. This is a Mizzou fan thing.
Not only is it a Mizzou thing, it's a CDOT thing as well, right? Because this is a normal thing for him that he likes to do and stir the pot. So that adds to it.
I think it represents both well. Both of them do. Carrington being the Mizzou side, KU fans as your represent, as you're saying, they all just like to go at each other. So
yeah, but it's like
they each always look for that in where they can put their rival on the spot there. You know what I'm saying?
Here's the thing you have to understand. Being a Mizzou fan is terrible. It is a horrendous existence. I can tell you this because I was a Mizzou fan for 3 hours.
Yes.
Back in 2007, December 1st, 2007. It was the day after I took my tour of Mizzou, my senior year of high school. They got me on that recruitment trip. They got my ass on that recruitment trip.
He said 3 hours.
3 hours. They got my ass on that recruitment trip.
What he was going
to
do.
Yeah, I knew I was going to go there. It was the only school I applied to. And I went there, and they hit me with that Mizzou is number one at football because they were the number one football team in college football at that point. They were going against Oklahoma in the Big 12 title game, and I was like, okay, man, I'm a Florida fan first, but I can put Mizzou as my number two. I can root for them because that's the school that I'm going to be going to. And I sat there for 3.5 hours, and I rooted for Mizzou in that game. And they just got washed by the Sooners. And I was like, if this is what it's like being a Mizzou fan, bleep this. I am done with the Tigers.
No loyalty.
They're not my number two anymore. I'm just going to stick with my number one in Florida, which was cool because they won the national title the very next year with Tim Tebow, Gators, chomp, chomp. And I understood at that point what it was like to be a Mizzou fan. Especially, you remember 2012?
For 3 hours.
Yeah, for 3 hours. And then
we got KU fans chiming in, thought it was funny what CDOT said. By the way,
yeah,
I mean it was funny. But
CDOT's funny.
It was funny. Unnecessary, right? Yeah, but he could have just made a Joel Embiid joke and then just left it.
But
he's
but gotta
no.
have
yeah,
the
gotta tie it back to KU. If there's ever any reason to blast KU, he's gonna do it.
Of course.
And so that was an opportunity.
But
he
that's
took
what
it.
Mizzou fans do.
But if he had the ability, if Mizzou actually ever did anything, then fine. We take it in. But the fact that no Final Fours. They have nothing to stand on. And so these continuous little pot shots, yeah, it's annoying.
Let me learn y'all something.
But when you're at the top, you got a target on your back. You know what I mean?
I enjoy it. I enjoy it.
Let me learn y'all something.
The fact that we're always on their mind like that.
I'm a Phoenix Suns fan. Which,
listen to this dude. He can't make up his mind.
I'm a Phoenix Suns fan. I know what it's like to be in the position of a Mizzou. Phoenix Suns have never won an NBA title in their career. So, because they're an inept organization and they can't even do the draft lottery right, they had what would have been the third overall pick and they got pushed back to sixth. So, they got screwed in the lottery. So, I take joy in the fact that the Lakers are terrible because the Suns are awful too. So, the Lakers, the team with the second most titles in the history of the NBA, I got to root for them to lose. I enjoyed them not making the playoffs way more than I enjoyed anything that the Suns did this year.
Yeah, but that's not a real rivalry, though.
No, that's a very real rivalry.
Yeah, on that side of the country.
Everybody. The Suns
think,
hate
though.
The Lakers. The Lakers hate the Suns. There's a lot of trash talk between us Suns and Lakers
like
fans.
I feel like that's more of a KUK State thing.
No,
like
it's, a not little a KU, it's not but a KUK State thing. It's very much a KU Mizzou thing. But we hate each other. I hate Lakers fans. I root for their misery. I was glad. I was happy when LeBron James pulled his groin. Like
Lakers fans
you celebrated a man's injury.
About
it's just when you're at the disagree. Top and you're the Lakers or you're KU or you're mm-hmm. the Yankees or you're the Patriots
or you're the Gators.
People are gonna hate you. That's just how it goes. But this KU MU rivalry, I think, is something different. I think it's just more. There's so many of each school's alumni in the same small place in Kansas City. There's so many of each here.
It's a location thing.
Yeah,
it is, and so it's a geographical thing. And look, this is part of sports. Like, the rivalry is, I think, some of the best parts of sports. And so I think for CDOT to just find some way to put them on blast, he's going to do it.
He's stirring the pot.
Yeah, which is fine. He's going to do that. USKU fans cannot be so emotional.
They took the bait. The KU fans took the bait and then went way too far.
But do you think it has to do with because they just did so poorly last year? Do you think they're just a little still in their feelings?
No.
Well, KU fans are always in their feelings. Let's be honest here. KU fans are literally always in their feelings about every time they get a tournament draw. It's, oh, we got screwed. We got the toughest draw in the tournament out of anybody. Oh, man, we got the toughest road. We're not going to be able to win six games to win the national title. It's always something with KU fans. Look. You're not victims. You're KU fans.
You're
Florida fan.
We are the victims.
Fan. No, you're
not. The victim of these unnecessary pot shots that you guys need to reel back in until you have something to stand on.
Honestly, I think KU fans like it too. I really do.
They like
really
it, do. Yeah. Really they do. Like it because it makes them feel special.
So continue to talk crap. So we
and
can,
I think they probably play them back, not to MU, but whoever. Did you see that? I think they probably hand them out when they can. Obviously not to MU, but...
No, I'm telling you.
It's not even fun for us anymore, right? Mizzou, everything that could go wrong with Mizzou goes wrong, and it's just not fun to make fun of them anymore. It's just not.
Don't try to take the high road. You know damn well when you see the dysfunction that is at Mizzou, you get a little smile on your face.
I thoroughly enjoy it.
A nice little crack of the smile on your face.
But it's
whenever
lost
that
its luster a little. Look, it happens so often. It's kind of
yes,
lost
but that
its
rivalry's
luster.
Going nowhere. So CDOT will continue to do the,
sure.
what he's
I'm
doing.
Just telling
KU fans will continue.
I'm just telling you, as a Florida fan, I know what it's like to be elite. Elite people don't get
Stop
mad
it.
When
Stop
the lowly
it.
Peasants and peons get angry at them and try to
as
make fun
Phoenix
of them.
As a Phoenix Suns fan, as a Florida fan,
well, the
fan,
Phoenix Suns
as
fan,
an MU
Phoenix
fan
Suns
for three
fan
hours.
Is not a that's not a blessing. That's a curse.
You're killing me.
It's a curse being a Phoenix Suns fan right now. Even
All
though
right,
we've got some great players that are young, they don't win.
I think we should keep the rivalry. I think I like it. Hot takes all
just,
the time.
Just
I like it. Keep them
chill
up.
Out a little bit. Next time you guys have a KU fans meeting, whenever you guys have the town hall next time, just tell them like, hey, chill out when Mizzou fans get on you. They need it.
Nope.
They need it more than you do.
Pass.
All right, moving on. We're coming back with a fun new segment. It's called Dead to Me, so there's that. We'll have some fun when we come back. Don't go anywhere.
Overtime with Jillian and Chris, 610 Sports Radio.
Just talked a little bit about a new segment called Dead to Me, and our guy Julio is going to give us a little background on what we can expect from this new segment.
You're dead to me, boy. You're more dead to me than your dead mother.
You're nothing to me now. You're not a brother. You're not a friend. I don't want to know you or what you do.
There is no tomorrow. You're dead to me. You're dead. You're gone. I don't even know who you are. You're vapor.
You're dead to me. Over.
All right.
Julio's very proud of
this. I'm very excited.
That's actually pretty good.
Yes.
Hopefully the computer doesn't freeze.
That
was the best. Like, that was on point. That was perfect.
I did all right.
Julio was feeling pretty good. Okay. Pretty good about that in the break.
Yes. All right. So for this new segment, this week we're going to start off with one person that we're going to kind of bury from
Julio
the week.
Julio is going to bury.
So I'm going to bury somebody this week. Going forward, each of us will pick each week a person that we're going to bury who's literally going to be dead to us. So this week.
You're dead to me. Over.
This week, Lamar Odom is dead to me.
No.
Now, he was dead to me before, but after reading this, he is officially dead to me.
He
gone,
dug him out of the grave. He dug him out of the grave, and then he reburied his ass.
So Lamar Odom recently revealed that he used a prosthetic penis during the 2004 Olympics. So
what had happened was
he got put on the 2004 Olympic NBA basketball or Olympic team, USA.
Which wasn't a very good team because Lamar Odom was on that team.
That's exactly it.
Okay,
so,
I'm still confused. Okay,
so
explain.
Going forward, so what happened was he had to take a drug test, right? We all know he has a very serious problem or had. With drugs, right? So in his book, it's newly released. He said he spent all summer smoking weed and doing coke and doing all kinds of different drugs. And so he didn't know he was going to have to take this drug test. So because of this, he bought a prosthetic penis that basically had a reservoir in it.
Oh, my gosh.
Right? And he had his trainer pee into this prosthetic penis.
Come on,
he then strapped it on. In order to release the urine, he had to squeeze the cojones and the shaft in order to pee out the clean urine.
Which
is just, to me, like, this is just icing on the cake to just describe this, the type of person that he is. I mean, this guy has some serious issues. I'm officially done, buried. I can't take it anymore with him. He just needs to go away.
Is this the first time you think that this man has strapped on a prosthetic penis?
No. He had cocaine issues for many a year.
So this is his practice.
He knew about this. He was ready. This was not the first time he's done it, and it definitely wasn't the last time he's done it. Because we just saw we have seen not very many players, but players over the years get drug tested in the NBA, and sometimes they'll get suspended for it. I'm telling you, he's probably a professional at this whole dodging piss test thing.
He's got the whole process down. He's got it down.
He is a king at it. He's an all-star. He's an Olympian at dodging piss test.
Do you think he gets the same guy to pee in the fake penis every time?
No, I bet he's got a rotation.
He's got a team. He's got a team of people.
But if you're hiring or asking or making someone do this for you, you got to trust their habits are clean.
Oh, absolutely. Well, of course, he's paying a trainer. That trainer is making probably a crap ton of money off of him.
Oh, my God.
Right? Oh, yeah.
Is he making enough to pee in a fake penis?
How much did you...
I would demand a bonus.
How much do you think he paid? Like, 10 stacks?
I mean,
it has to be at least 10.
I'd do it for 10 stacks.
That's the starting price right there.
How risky is it? Are we talking, you know, it's not like a legal thing here for the guy who peed for him? Like, what kind of punishments can...
He's not going to get in any trouble. Not unless it's like a federal drug test or something.
And that's...
If this was like probation, go to jail because you failed a test, like, yeah, that would probably be a problem. That'd be like tampering or something.
Yes.
But no, this is...
You fake peer.
Well, how big was it that he had to be able
penis?
To hold enough
you
pee?
Should have said how big was it.
To be able to hold enough pee... Like, I work in the drug testing business.
Yeah,
so in order
he's a professional at this.
You tell us.
Explain
then.
To us,
well, in order
Mr.
To,
drug
you have
testing
to have a certain
guy?
Amount of pee in order for them to be able to test it.
Have you ever
it.
Outed someone for strapping on a fake penis and
I've never done the testing.
He's not
I
in
don't
the room.
Want to.
Oh, you're
he's not in the room.
I'm in the laboratory side of things, not in the actual
in the
collection
testing, so.
Of the urine.
I don't think anybody's ever in the room with you anyways.
No, they were. That's why you had to have the strap on.
Well, for like the in sports, they do.
He said the drug testing guy was literally standing 2 feet behind him. Watching
him.
Oh,
he was behind him.
He had to stand behind him and pee.
Okay. I thought that was, he was like standing in front of him.
Like,
I was like, man.
But like, I'm pretty sure it's like, I can't remember exactly how much it is, but it's quite a bit of pee to be able to have to test it.
How'd he get caught?
He didn't get caught.
How do we know what happened?
Because he said it in his book.
Oh, he came out and said
well,
it?
Well, yes. He's not playing anymore, so like, what are they going to do?
Yeah, it doesn't make a difference now. It doesn't make a difference now.
You think somebody read that and they were like, man, I knew that was fake.
Well, I'm very curious how this thing works. Is it
both?
Like, do you have to like how big were the cojones? Like,
does he have to wear a couple pairs of shorts?
Like, how? What kind of a strap on was it? Like an underwear thing, or was it like a Velcro belt? Like,
this is
what,
so
what's
bad.
Going on?
So bad.
So many questions.
How many people do you think are doing this on a regular basis?
I mean, if
it's
found
happening
it,
a lot.
Oh yeah,
there's a lot of people that are doing fake tests.
Yes, but in this manner.
I mean, this seems to be well thought out.
Somebody's making money off
this. He said he researched quite a bit.
He's not the first person to do it.
Right.
He's definitely not the first person to
do it. I'm saying how many? I'm thinking this has happened on a daily basis.
It has to be quite a few if it's an actual product that you can buy.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, there's got to be a market for it, right?
Yeah, I would imagine, because, I mean, he researched, so clearly this was like, somebody was like, hey, man, this is how I did it, or this is how we did it, so this is how we're, you know, you need to go out and go about this. Like, I'm pretty sure it's been probably tested many a times. I would imagine that baseball players have tested this a lot, especially back in the 90s, because you had a lot of issues with failed drug tests back then and guys trying to, you know, avoid having any sort of implications on. I'm pretty sure this is something that's happened very much. over the years.
And how did he keep it at the right temperature? It has to test between 89 degrees and 100 degrees. It has to be within a certain temperature.
You said 89 to 100?
Yeah. And so it has to be within that temperature. So I don't know if, like, he just immediately had him pee and then strapped it on, or maybe there's ways around it. Maybe like hand warmers.
Maybe he was like in the. Maybe he was like,
oh my god, he has hand warmers down his pants.
Maybe he was like,
gotta do what you gotta do.
Okay, so do you think he practices at home a couple times before he went up in there and did this test? And do you think he was nervous? Because I mean, what if they caught him?
Well, yeah, he had to be nervous.
He did say he was nervous,
especially.
Do you think he practiced? Oh my gosh, we're getting instructions here. Generally, a small bag goes up against your skin, and you tuck it in your belt line.
This is a professional right here.
Listen, okay.
That doesn't sound very professional.
Whoever this person is,
a prosthetic
been dodging,
penis. Sounds
they've
been
oh my gosh, dodging here's tests another one for years. From 785, I worked in a treatment. People, this is happening. Okay.
I'm not sure we could say that, but we're gonna skip over that.
Well,
I dumped it. Don't worry.
Oh man, we're getting instructions.
These are clearly people that somebody said.
Hot topic.
Everybody, said for probation and stuff like that. Definitely watch you. It's illegal for them to watch you if it's just for. Yeah, they don't watch. I've been to.
They stand close to scare you.
Yeah, I've never had one where they were like in the room. They were like in the other room.
I've been walked to a restroom. She has waited outside the restroom.
Yeah, everyone
I've
had.
Just stupid.
They've
Why?
Watched.
You might as well wait.
They've stood outside. I've always had them stand outside the room when they do it. And then they like don't flush the toilet. And they're like really, really like.
There's lots of rules. There's lots of
things.
Yeah,
don't wash your hands. Don't.
Can't bring anything in there with you. They take your bag, they lock it up.
Don't look at anything. Which the lady I got.
No smiling.
Don't be happy when you're doing this drug test. And I had a lady, it was a few months ago when I got like officially hired on in my day job. And like she really didn't care. So I was like, man, I could have faked this. I could have gone out and just got a fake and I could have gone in and I'd have been good.
Did you need to? Are you telling us?
No, something? I'm good. I'm drug free. You know, I follow the rules and I take what I learned in school from DARE and I don't do
DARE?
That stuff. Yeah, DARE.
Hand warmers get it to around 105 degrees. Take it off an hour
before. But
that's
over. That's over the 100, though, right?
And your skin will get it to 89. I said checkered past.
These people, clearly we have a lot of questionable people on our Protein Housing with the Purpose text line.
I love it. Well, this was your first Dead to Me segment. We're excited to bring you some more. Obviously, Chris will have some. I will have some. Julio will have some. If you got recommendations, send them our way. You could tweet us. You could reach out however you want. I'm Jillian Thomas, 22. What's your handle?
At 0 to 60.
And Julio, what's your handle, Twitter?
The Julio Sage.
All right, send us your Dead to Me ideas. More from Overtime after this.
Overtime with Jillian and Chris, 610 Sports Radio.
Than we were prior
wow.
to.
Yeah, I'm learning a whole lot here in the last 15 minutes or so.
Learning a lot about our listeners.
Yeah.
And their
our listeners are degenerates.
Backgrounds.
Our listeners are degenerates.
Right about that.
They're not degenerates. They're educated in different walks of life.
Oh, sure.
Just different walks
sure.
of life.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, they are educated on how to dodge
like
piss
that.
Tests.
Yeah.
Well, we learned what a whizinator is.
Yeah, that's the correct term, is the whizinator. You can just Google the product. It's called the Whizinator.
Oh my goodness.
They'd like to sponsor us.
Yeah, they like to sponsor us. Yeah, we will take the Whizinator sponsorship any day.
Oh my goodness. All right, that was our first Dead to Me segment. We're pretty excited about that one moving forward. We've got an update. The Sporting Kansas City match is on as scheduled. So it will kick off tonight at 7:30. If you are at home, you can catch it on Fox Sports Kansas City. Another MLS update. We spoke about it earlier. Chris Wondolowski tied the record held by Landon Donovan for most goals. Well, he actually just crushed it. Now he's sitting at 148 goals.
Ooh.
So he's just, yeah, this last game, he just bumped himself up. Now he holds the title. Pretty exciting. So more soccer news. We know that the World Cup is just around the corner, and our U.S. women's national team is doing a fantastic job to prepare. They were just victorious 5-0 over the Netherlands a couple days ago.
They ruined them.
Looking really, really good, coming together. Chemistry is there. We've got some new young players.
And Jillian's going to try to stunt on us because she's going to Paris. She's going to France.
Next celebrity card.
Listen, I'm just working, okay? It's a work trip. It's 100% a work trip.
Totally.
I am coaching.
Definitely.
I am bringing a group of 12-year-old girls. We've got a couple girls from Texas joining my Kansas City team, and we are headed over there to play with PSG. We are thrilled. But, you know, this is exciting for me. Just two players from, you know, Kansas City, I would say. Obviously, Becky Sauerbrunn from St. Louis played in Kansas City. A huge part of that team. And also Adriana French, third string goalkeeper. Yes, she might not see the field. She's from Salina, Kansas. So I just love that we have two girls, you know, two players representing the area. And
Salina's really small.
I was in Salina yesterday, actually.
I went there
for the second time ever.
I went there for a wrestling show two or three years ago. It was really small. It was like you can just drive right through in 2 minutes.
It's different.
I went there for a wrestling match, too. It was for midget wrestling. And not to be offensive, it was literally called midget wrestling.
That's what it's called. I went there for an NXT
show. And it was very exciting. I'm not going to lie. Those dudes get down.
Oh, yeah. I went for an NXT show like 2 or 3 years ago. No, it was 3 years ago. Yeah. It was really good too.
What are you looking so like I just offended you, Jillian? Those guys have to make money too.
They have to make money too.
That they're people.
And they're entertaining. They were entertaining. It's actually really popular in Mexico.
It is.
Yeah, they do luchador. Luchador
masks. It's like a tradition. It's like a traditional thing.
Oh yeah, it's really cool. I like it.
Back to soccer.
Some thick skin, Jill. Get some thick skin.
I can't.
We went from women's soccer to wrestling.
Vertically challenged.
Coming from the woman weren't saying inappropriate words on the. We had to dump her
because she was reading the text line.
Richard,
and said
I
an inappropriate word on the line.
Anyway, back to our very successful U.S. women's national team. Okay. You guys are bad for talking about midget wrestling.
You just said it.
No, we are representing. Kansas City is being represented by two players. Obviously, they're doing very well preparing. Also, just Allie Krieger, her 100th cap. So, just a huge accomplishment. She is a little bit on the older side if you look at the roster. However, she earned her spot back. She got the call-up for the World Cup. She is crushing it. Love her. Also, Carly Lloyd, I think she's 36 now.
Oh, she's 36?
She is still crushing it. We saw her with the hat trick in last World Cup.
Yeah, they don't let you do that on the men's side.
I mean, they would let you if you're good enough. Don't get me started on the men. We can't even get the young guns to get themselves
they
to qualify. So don't get me started on that.
They wouldn't let Landon Donovan at all, but he also was bad when he tried to get on the national team.
But these women are still doing their thing.
Yeah, Lloyd's still
mid-30s.
Really good. She's killing it.
Crushing it. And they are obviously headed over to France here soon, road to France. And they are, it's less than a month away. It's only a couple weeks now. Holy moly. That will be fun. That will be exciting. They are expected to do well.
Maybe we can do a watch party.
Right?
Yeah, so you can just do it remotely from France.
Yeah.
I'll call in from France. You guys will hear from me then. That'll be good.
You're just rubbing it in now.
Yeah.
You brought it up, not me.
You decided to leave. You're no longer part of the show.
Yeah.
You're going to be in our Dead to Me segment.
Yeah, she's going to be dead to me when we do a show and she's not here.
The newest. We're going to start keeping track of everyone that's dead to us.
Oh, my goodness.
We'll just keep a list. We keep like a Google Doc. Lamar Odom is the first one.
Followed closely by Jillian Carroll.
We're going to save Jillian for when she goes to Paris and she stunts on us and eats all that French food and we don't get to eat any of that. Yeah, sure, whatever.
Yeah,
it's a work trip.
If that's what lets you sleep at night, then
she just used air quotes when she said that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you guys couldn't see it here, you know, who are listening to us because it didn't happen.
Number one.
Oh, it happened. It happened. I believe Julio. I didn't see it, but I wasn't looking your way.
Did you know Brazil has a woman on the team that's 41?
Oh wow.
41 years old.
Oh wow.
So she'll be playing, and I think it's her 9th World Cup.
9th?
Jeez.
Oh wow.
Good for her.
Wow. Yeah. The men's side, The men generally do not age very well once they get to their like mid 30s.
Men in general or Brazilian?
No,
I was going to say, watch it.
The players do not age very well.
I feel like I'm doing okay for myself.
Generally don't. Not,
you too.
The women do fine. The women do fine because you see a lot of the older women playing there. The men don't. Like, unless you're Cristiano Ronaldo. When you get your Cristiano Ronaldo, you're fine.
Well, he looks like he's 12 still.
He doesn't. He looks like he's 22. I don't know what he's doing, but he's still really good.
He's still really, really good.
And you, like, a lot of those guys fall off a cliff.
He's consistently very good.
Yeah, though he kind of hit a wall late in the year this year for Juventus.
Or did the team?
Both. He wasn't as great as he had been before.
Well, back to soccer, not the midget wrestling.
You keep bringing it up. You obviously want to talk about it. It's a thing. Seeing them from the top rope,
they're really glorious. They're really good.
Watching them throw trash cans and hit each other in the head with
the trash
can.
Is the trash can bigger than them, though?
No.
It is.
Almost the same size.
Oh, my God.
They could definitely. They're not like. If they stood inside the trash can, you would not be able to see them.
They're not like really little. A lot of those.
Yes, they are.
Like, no, some of them are, but like most of them are like under 5 feet. We're talking about like 4'11", 4'10", something like that.
The ones I saw.
We're not talking about like them being like, you know, 3 feet tall or anything. Like they're like.
Isn't that a midget?
Yeah.
Little person, Jillian.
Technically, they're still little people, but they're not like super little. It's like 5 foot, maybe 4'11", something like that. It's actually really popular in Mexico.
I know you said that earlier, and I don't know about all that, but anyway, we appreciate you joining Overtime today. We covered a lot. First 2 hour show, we learned a lot. We learned about these Wizinator things, which, all right, that happened.
You guys want to sponsor us? We're cool with that.
Catch us next week. It's Uno, Sarah, Julio, and Jillian on 610 Sports Radio Overtime next week. Tune in. See ya.
Overtime with Jillian and Chris, 610 Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.